There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay. Let's see how this works. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Okay. How are you now? Broadcasting from the studios of Crow's Nest in Cammeraygal country, I think this is. Oh, no. It's close enough. Anyway, it's the Theory of Thing investment podcast, head of relationships with our original people here. It's the Theory of Thing investment podcast, season 8, episode, I think it's 12, who cares? Remember, if it's talked about enough, it's a thing. This is also the first time that we're doing this over video as well, so we're going to have some stuff to share, just trying it out. Thank you to our producer, Gregory, for everything that he's going to be doing and helping us out. This show is brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. Anything that you want to have in the mutual funds world, you get access to India, America, Australian funds as well, over 3,000 funds around the world. Check it out, amfex.com. Doing some amazing work there. A reminder, all the advice here is general in nature. You know that already. I am James Whelan. I'm an investment manager at VFS Group. I'm a white male, age 42. And this is for the people who are listening only and not seeing it on video. I'm wearing white chinos or khakis or whatever you want to call them, and a polo shirt. I'm wearing a camouflage hoodie from GVH Constructions, and they're the guys, good mates of mine, and they've been a guest on the show. They're actually building the add-on to my house. At this time of year in this economy, I'm joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments here. Heath, how are you now? What are you wearing?
Not too bad, mate. I've been hit with the man flu, so listeners and viewers will have to excuse me if I start coughing up a lung. But apart from that, I'm very well. Just wearing a blue and red checkered business shirt, along with some greenish type shorts. Again, it's quite warm in the house because it's chilly outside, so we've got the heat is blaring. And
in this economy,
everything's right. Yeah, in this economy, mate, I'd rather be comfortable in this economy still. Yeah, but maybe that's a sign we need another 25 basis points. Who knows? But it's good. It's good.
All right, mate. Well, I remind everyone, mark well wherever you go. Make sure that you do it right. This episode is being recorded, like I said, in Sydney and Adelaide simultaneously. It's 10:36 a.m. on the 7th, 2023. We're a week away from Bastille Day. Again, hello to Gregory, our French producer, for all the work that he's doing. We've got to go and figure out what we're doing for Bastille Day. Now, we're going to keep it short and sweet. We do too much on the intro, I know, but we've got a lot of stuff that we have to get through. China bans, we're talking about the strong US economy. Is good news, bad news again? The Oz economy, are we going to get another hit? Straight off, mate, the markets last night started to tell the tale. We might be turning back around again, in that good news in the jobs market has actually resulted in bad news to the market. It has to take a detour to get to rates increasing first because of the expectations. The Fed speaker, Laurie Lawrenson, or whoever was out there, I've lost her name, Laurie Logan, I think it was, said that, yep, we should keep on hiking immediately so as they don't lose control of the advantages that they've had. Heath, mate, good news. So do you want to go with the US stuff and then we'll go straight into China after that? Just a quick overview of markets.
Yep. Yeah. All this sort of has unfolded in the last 24, 48 hours, hasn't it? Last night we saw ADP job figures up half a mil, which is well above the 225 expected. Now, there's been little correlation with the NFPs and the ADP job figures. One sector that did surprise, though, was construction, up 99,000, which is the largest month-on-month gain since 2011. So, you know, people still wanting houses, which suggests there's still a lot of resilience in the US economy. We had during that, you know, the end of the first quarter, start of the second quarter, we had that sort of dip in the macro data, some real softness. But we've come out of that second quarter, the end, with some resilience in the consumer and the housing market. We are heading into the US summer. So I mean, it could be a little bit more buoyancy out there. We saw ISM services PMI last night come in much stronger than expected, around 53. Last month was about 50. So it was almost in contraction last month. But again, services seem to be strong. But that, again, the services side could be because it's coming into summer, people are getting out and about again. So, yeah, I mean, it's a hard, really hard read. And we saw the market come off around 1% on the back of it. We've got NFP out tonight. So by the time most people listening to this will have those numbers out. And generally, they've been beating expectations. So, yeah, that's really what's been happening. I mean, like you said, the good news is bad news again, because maybe, just maybe, the Fed has to start hiking again.
Yeah, they'll go immediately. Bringing it locally, since while we're in that initial market news, our Fed, I'm just going to call them the Fed, the Aussie Fed, decided, which is totally independent of our actual government, you know, the executive arm of, except they get to choose who the new RBA governor is going to be.
Someone
fairly high level was actually commenting on the chat channel, just saying it's insane. It was just one of those times where you just like, we all know. Anyway, it's one of those great known knowns, sort of things like that. They held off on another rate hike. Sorry, the first time they've held off in a very long time, which is great.
Yep.
For, you know, everyone. I'm not going to go into that sort of thing. I'll leave that up to the Shane Olivers and Craig Jameses of the world to talk about the actual impacts of that. They'll go again next month. They'll be back into it next month. I'm fully confident of that. We're going to see out there. I think, and it's coming through more and more, that the straw has really broken the dromedary when it comes to actual spending and going out. This is now the start of the, we're not doing the peak tonight. This is that next stage. We're not doing it. We're drinks out and our drinks in. I'm sure this is it. This is the time. It's hit home. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I mean, we saw up until May, we saw really weak spending data. May was so far an outlier. The RBA either hiking or holding this in August, it really is a 50-50, just like July was. If we get that by then, they should have the quarterly CPI figures out in their hands, along with the July CPI, monthly CPI figures out as well. So that it's totally data dependent with the RBA. They're not giving a clear message to anyone really. And the market is really finding it tough grappling that sort of environment. At this stage, based on what we have now, I don't see any reason for them to hike again in August based on the data we have now. No. If inflation comes a little bit stronger than expected, or we continue to see strong retail data and spending data, et cetera, then I'd change my tune. But at this stage, no. And especially being in the middle of winter, I don't think consumer spending data is going to be as strong as everyone expects. So, although here in Adelaide, I mean, you go to the shops on the weekend and stuff, and it's really, really busy. But I dare say they're doing like 80% of their trade during the weekend anyway. So, so for me, it's a hold at this point, but that could change depending on what data we get coming in the next few weeks.
All righty. Now let's go and switch over to China. China. Now, there's been a ban. Now, this is more your sweet spot, and I've been trying to do it. I love the way that every now and then something comes up and you have to learn about a whole new thing that you haven't even heard of before. This week, it is germanium and gallium.
Gallium.
They're the two ones. Now they have export restrictions have been put in. Beijing has stopped the exporting of those particular materials, of which they manufacture like 2/3 or 80% of each of those things.
Yeah.
They're 2/3 of world's germanium production, and they are 80% of the world's gallium output. What's it used for? I'm going to ask. I already know, but let's just say that, you know, I have to ask these questions, Heath.
Yep. It's part of chip manufacturing. That's
more advanced chips,
if you want to put it. Yeah, advanced chips manufacturing. And really, I mean, this is, I think, more of a shot across the bow of the US and saying, okay, we're willing to start this tit for tat sort of banning, you know, competition or whatever they're doing if you want to play that game. And it really, it's not really going to impact the industry all that much. It's going to push up prices a little bit because we do have other major sources. South Korea has a lot stockpiled. I think maybe South Korea saw this coming, so they have a lot of this stuff stockpiled. It will push up prices, but we can source it from other places. The negative is, you know, if it goes on for too long, it really isn't mined by itself. It's a byproduct of zinc. So, and zinc production isn't massive either. So, if it gets to a point where we run through those stockpiles and, you know, we're all clamoring for the same supplier, then it could cause a bit of a headache. But at, in the immediate term, it won't. But like I said, it could be the first shot across the bow, and, you know, rare earths could definitely be next. Rare earths are used in a lot of electric vehicle manufacturing, in the magnets, in defense.
It's defense is the important one. Remember, we had this happen a few years ago with Trump, and everyone suddenly went crazy with the. Now I've just pulled up an article here where it's the FT's Lex, which you got to sub to. You got to sub to get the premium subscriber base, which in this economy I do still pay for. just talking about exactly this battle and back and forth. With regards to these bits and pieces, you would think that was Janet Yellen, so Treasury Secretary, is in Beijing right now.
Yes.
That it's so funny that the diplomatic relations, it's like it seems to be thawing, but at the same time we see these things going on. It's just part of that tit-for-tat battle, saying that we still control these particular things. Then it just sort of gets responded to by the US and just continues. I like this line here at the end here. The battle over high technology will surely retard innovation in both the West and East. In the geopolitical contest to cut off noses to spite faces, Washington and Beijing are both making steady progress. What's the play here, Heath Moss?
Look, I think, you know, although I wouldn't be diving in now at the moment, considering the softness in the resources sector, but
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Someone like a Linus, LYC, about $7 a share here. One of the biggest manufacturer of producer of rare earths outside of China in the world. Their main manufacturer production site is in Malaysia at the moment, but they're diversifying, adding one to WA, and then also setting one up in the US as well. So that's probably a play. I know in the US there is a rare earths ETF listed as well, which you could use as a play. I can't remember the name of it. I mean, I could Google it quickly.
I'm just going to do this thing here.
And there's also actually a green metals ETF here in Australia by Global X that I think may contain some rare earths in it. Don't quote me on that. But I think that could be a play as well. If, you know, if this tit for tat thing continues and restrictions get a little bit tighter, because we remember the US hasn't implemented its advanced chips ban just yet. It did delay that till September. And what, like we spoke about last week, we've seen a lot of stockpiling by Chinese tech firms on with these AI chips from NVIDIA, et cetera, and bringing orders forward. Like ByteDance had ordered more so far this year than all of China's tech sector had for last year. Now, I think NVIDIA said it would cost them about $400 million in revenue if these bans went ahead, which isn't a great deal of their revenue. But I think this could be the catalyst for the sell-off in that tech sector. Biden comes in and goes, we're strengthening these bans. You're actually not allowed to sell these products to China at all because at the moment it's just an export ban. So you could eventually, you can use a third party and still get it into China at the moment. So maybe he comes in and says, okay, it's a total sales ban to China with these chips. And that causes the sell-off in the tech sector for obvious reasons.
Yep.
So I think that's where we're headed at the moment. And that's not likely to play out until towards the end of this quarter, maybe the fourth.
Okay. Well, speaking of what's going to play out this quarter, and this wasn't on the script, but we've got earnings season ahead of us over in the States again. And expectations, I think I saw Refinitiv expectations. This is on the AusBiz market wrap, which is actually a really good market wrap from AusBiz. It just tells you what happens overnight. It's just a really good overview. I love a good overview. Just keep it simple for me. I was just joking with Gareth Aird a little while ago. I need things 14 size, double spaced, and I read them with my finger with my mouth moving. And that's how I need my morning presentation. What happens overnight? We've got I think it was about a 5.5% drop in earnings is expected. So this is
better. That's larger than I thought. Yeah. I'd heard about it. 2.5%, but that was over a week ago. So yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, these are expectations. I'm sure there was a 5% there. I'd have to open up my email to do it again. I don't want to do that. So that's quite big. The earnings recession does continue. Yields are still higher and continue to go higher. That's really starting to bite the market as well. We have had a good. This is the thing. We've had a good first part of the year. Traditionally, July is actually quite strong as well.
Very strong.
Came off that Carson. That Carson group or whatever they are that have those really good stats. And I can't remember his name, Ryan something. Anyway, he does those sort of stats of annualizing the market, what happens over a certain amount of time. And if the first 6 months has gone X and it has gone X, like over 10%, then the rest of, like over the next 6 months, is basically guaranteed to be up. Once that it continues in the same direction. It's confidently buying the S&P 500. I would be on big dips. Pull your chart out. Actually, you know what I'll do? Have you got a chart there of the S&P? What was your chart?
I've got, this is NASDAQ 100. Here's the S&P.
Struth, look at that.
Yeah. Really big breakout there from the 4195 mark. It's what will be 4411 at the moment. But yeah. Westy, Chris Weston from Pepperstone actually put out some good data on the NASDAQ last week, saying of the last 15 years, 15 have been up for the NASDAQ with an average gain of 4.5% in July. So that's huge. And locally here in Australia, July is traditionally really, really good as well. 12 of the last 15 have been positive with an average gain of around 2.5%. And that makes sense because we're leading into our major earnings reporting season in August, which means there's a lot of buoyancy, a lot of positivity, etc. So that's, I think, why we see such a good good month in July here.
Okay, happy to continue buying on dips, which is great. I'm still accumulating bonds as well.
Those yields.
The short end for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if you've got that on the screen there, but you can see the 10 years poked above 4% again. So it did dive to about 3.3% back in early April there. And that's when the macro data was getting really soggy and really soft, but it started to show resilience and strength and it's broken out of that downtrend. And we could see those highs of around 4.3%, 4.4% again on those yields. But also you've got to remember, you've got the T-bill issuance putting upward pressure on these yields plus the US dollar as well. So, and these are the headwinds we were talking about for a couple of months. What would happen in the third quarter in terms of equities and what, the headwinds they were facing and why we were a little bit on the bearish side of things as well.
Okay. Well, that's enough market nonsense for that. What have you got? Oh, mate, the cricket, first day of the cricket, that was a cracking night last night. I only watched...
It was. I went to bed just after Mitch Marsh got out. I woke up this morning, we'd only made another 20 runs or so we collapsed at the end. But it looks really even with the way England, what, about 3 for 68 or something. So it looks pretty even, too hard to call at the moment. But, yeah, there wasn't the spice in there that I expected. I would have thought there would have been a little bit more spice. It would have been great if we were bowling and Alex Carey just threw down the stumps off the first ball. It would have would have rattled.
Let it go, man.
We win this. Actually, England have to win this to have any chance of winning the Ashes back, because obviously we've got them at the moment.
Correct. So we're just going to keep on going.
Yeah, a draw will be enough for us. But we want to win it. We want to see a win. Everything happens.
It was an absolute smorgasbord of sports last night.
The Swannies.
Had a flick between the Swans. And every time I flicked across, and then my little girl, because she loves, she's like, we're going to watch the cricket, great. And I flicked across, I accidentally put it onto 70 instead of 74 or 75, I think is what we have for HD football. So the AFL's on our HD, second channel for 7. And she saw it's Britain's Got Talent was on, and she just went, no, okay, we're going to watch this as well. I was like, okay, so I'm flicking between Britain's Got Talent. I needed more TVs. I needed a split screen, multiple screens sort of thing going on. I've got the cricket, I've got the Swans, and every time I flicked across to the Swans, I was just like, they're going to lose. They'll lose this. I don't care how far ahead they are. This is it. They are going to lose this game. Buddy's final big farewell at the MCG. Sure as God wears sandals, absolutely dusted at the death. Fortunately, I tipped the Tigers, so I might be in for another perfect round this week as I lead the tipping comp in AFL. I should be doing the AFL tips. You should, you know. Anyway.
Another winner last week in the betting, so I was back on the horse.
Good work. I missed out on mine because mine was that dodgy, awful bunker decision for the Titans that blew the Titans up, and that ended up being the difference in it. So the Titans actually lost by 4, and I had, I think I was I 4.5 or something like that, I think, that I had a, with the points. Just wasn't enough, thanks to the bunker for overturning an obvious try for no real reason at all. Now, what have you got this week?
Let me check my notes. Where was it? There we go. So my tip this week, paying $2.60, is the Saints to beat the D's at Marvel this weekend. I know Saints only just got across the line against West Coast last week, but the D's are looking in ordinary form. They've got a few injuries, and the Saints play really, really well at Marvel. It's a smaller ground than the MCG, so it's easier for them to play their defensive game plan, the Ross Lyon game plan. So I think Saints get over the D's at Marvel.
Okay, well, I've got my beautiful Dolphins with the rich history of this football club will come shining through against the Titans of Gold Coast. I think that the Titans are actually the favourites of this one, but every man and his dog has still tipped the Dolphins at 2.11. I reckon just get them outright. That's on Sunday afternoon. That's the afternoon game on Sunday. A cracking time to be watching some football. That's the last one on a half round because we've got Origin 3 on Wednesday night as well. We'll probably lose that too. I don't really care. Mate, that's the box and dice of the show. What do you think of the new format?
Great. I'm just going to remember that we're on video and make sure I can have a shave next time. Everyone in the house is sick or has been sick. It's just been one of those weeks where, you're feeling pretty ordinary. But we push on.
I mean, you're all just jammed inside because it's too cold to go outside, and there's nothing to do because it's Adelaide. But the you're all just jammed inside. You're just recirculating the air. How is it possible you're not all sick at the same time? Anyway,
need to crack open a few more bottles of red wine, I think.
Yeah, I've got big ambitions on that too. Coming up, I've got a few things to do. I've actually got some pretty hefty client work to do in the next couple of hours, leaving on Friday afternoon. It's always a way, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. That's the joys of retail advisory. This podcast, and this football is my old Sharon, which was one of the first gifts that my wife gave me. It's been together since it has been around for as long as Michelle and I have been together.
And, maybe about 20 years, wouldn't it be?
I need to say that the bladders that are gone, the laces are dog chewed. So I'm going to send it off to the Sharon factory for $30 They'll fix everything.
Oh, wow.
It's basically just postage. Yep. They'll do
give it.
It's like
paint.
Our own Williams boots.
Yep. Beautiful.
Fantastic. No, I'll take it back down to Lakes and hoof it off there at the home of the Lakes entrance Seagulls. Mate, that's it. This show brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. Our producer, Gregory, is doing some great work. And let's see
Thanks, if he Greg.
Continues to do some great work. And salute to Gregory and have yourself a good weekend and stay safe.
Have a good one, everyone. See you later.
That's it. Okay, stay there until all the recordings are done. I'm going to hit end recording.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.